Veterans Affairs has a problem with its websites. Critics say most of them are inaccessible to blind vets. Members of the Blinded Veterans Association recently testified to the Joint Senate House Veterans Committees about this issue. The association's executive director, Al Avena, joins us now. Al, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
All right. So just a quick word about the association. It's called Blinded Veterans Association. Are most of the members people who have been blinded as a result of a service issue?
Actually, only a third of them have been blinded as a result of any kind of conflict or accident. Two-thirds of them are also blind as a result of age-related vision loss, so it doesn't matter whether an individual suffers from vision loss as a result of their service.
But they're all vets.
But they are all vets, and they are all blind, correct.
All right, so it looks as if Veterans Affairs is not complying with Section 508, I guess is what we're talking about, of the Americans with Disabilities Act. What has the association found at VA sites, and in any sites in particular that are egregious?
Well, there are numerous sites. We've identified some sites. Actually, the VA has done a pretty good job of identifying the top 20 sites and have hired about 20 contractors to run tests and analyze and see what's exactly wrong with them, and then provide some remendation where they actually fix the problems or they provide the site owners with the potential fixes. They've done an okay job in the last couple of years as a result of a lot of our effort, but when they come back in November and say, well, you know, here's a specific site, I'll give one quick example of My Healthy Vet that at that point was approximately 30% accessible, which was not very accessible at all. And most recently, back at the beginning of March, they came back and let us know that it's now 95% accessible. Well, when you're looking at a numbers point of view, that sounds great, but when you're talking about a blind veteran who goes onto a website, who now spends about an hour to an hour and a half finally getting to the place where they needed to get to fill out a form, spend another half an hour filling out the form, and they need to push another button that might say next, the adaptive software that might give and provide that audio output may not recognize that. And so that blind veteran, God forbid, that veteran also suffers from PTSD after spending an hour and a half, now just wasted all that time because they can't find that button. They can't push that button.
So these, I wanted to ask you in particular about the blue button technology, which VA has been touting so much, by which veterans can get information on their own health care history and own health history. How compliant are those records that you hit when you hit the blue button?
The records are fairly compliant. Again, it's all about percentages and perception. How much time do you spend finding it? Once you find it, the user experience for our constituents isn't that great. I would also include paralyzed veterans that use some of this same type of technology for a voice recognition user interface. They rely on that same tagging and proper formatting. If that's not there, then they themselves, as well as our blind veterans, can't navigate through the site. And if they do navigate through the site, when they finally find the forms that they need to fill out or pull up a specific record, sometimes it makes it very difficult to identify them because it's just not a very friendly experience, and then when you finally find it, it's that last percentage is kind of a waste of time sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, these sites can be hard enough for sighted people often. I was trying to find a forget your password button on a site the other day, and it was nowhere near where the password was supposed
right.
to be. It took me,
right.
So, you know, if you can't see it, I can imagine how much more difficult it would be. And so in getting the contractors in to update the sites, to your knowledge, has the VA had people with blindness come in to help them with usability testing to make sure that the compliance is where it needs to be, like the essential navigation buttons do in fact speak back when moused over?
The VA itself doesn't do a lot of that. They have a very small team that they consolidated between both the veterans benefits side and the veterans health side into one team of, I think, 11 individuals. They have a very small budget that spends a lot of time kind of fixing old software. So there are other issues as far as that's concerned. I would say the initial problem might be with the acquisition process, where they put the request for proposals out there, and then the contract manager is not ensuring that that contractor is doing what they're supposed to, because the VA doesn't produce very many IT themselves. They outsource all that and they hire the contractors. So the part where the VA is kind of failing I'd say dramatically, is the management of those contractors. They don't know other than to say that 508 compliance is required, and it's just a checkbox. Who's ensuring that it's being addressed in the same way that security is throughout the life of the contract, whether it's being acquired, whether it's being managed, whether it's being implemented? It's just not as important.
We're speaking with Al Avina. He's Executive Director of the Blinded Veterans Association. And just to get back to the technology for just a moment, there are different peripheral devices that a veteran might have in his or her home so that the sites have to be able to invoke those devices. I'm thinking of like the refreshable Braille readers, which is kind of like a pin grid where the right pins come up to form Braille and then they go back down until the next letter. That's something you found sites are lacking, that ability to interface with someone's Braille reader.
Again, it goes back to the universal design. If they properly formatted all that into the website, then it would be accessible to those individuals using the Braille display. And it's just not happening. And again, it's usually at the end point somewhere. So the veteran might spend that hour again. And then when it comes time to push the submit button or the next button, they're just not capable of doing it themselves without some sighted assistance.
So besides, suppose they don't have sighted assistance, what do they do? Do they have to come into a VA office and get the transaction done in person?
Exactly. So the amount of time and energy that the VA had spent to making all these wonderful products available online then exclude our constituents who then have to rely on paper and then come into a VA or have a social worker within the VA or rely on another veteran service organization to help them kind of get that last part done.
So your national president, Mark Cornell, has made some long list of recommendations that were unveiled in that March hearing before the Joint Committee. What are some of the top recommendations you would like to see VA get after to fix this problem?
Basically, it's just having a lot of buy-in throughout. The easiest and quickest way would having a seat at the table at the CIO's office with accessibility. It should be addressed at every level, as does security. For every dollar you spent in the planning phase, you save $10 down the road. But for some reason, more people are interested in saving money and cost now rather than down the road.
And when you talk to people at VA, do they seem receptive to the idea?
They seem receptive. We've had some initial talks as a result of Mr. Cornell's testimony. We're waiting to see what the outcomes are. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Sure. And how about Congress? I mean, were they sensitized to this issue after that hearing?
They were sensitized. Actually, there was a letter that just went out from signed by Representative Benishek and Brownlee as a result of that. I think that just started being circulated as of yesterday.
And just give us some of these statistics here. I mean, how many do we know how many returning veterans or returning warfighters from Afghanistan and Iraq have been blinded in combat? This is the recent crew.
This is really difficult to determine. The VA is telling us one number and the Department of Defense is saying another. And then the other thing we have to take into consideration are the number of traumatically brain injured individuals suffer from significant vision dysfunction. The health of the eye in some cases is perfectly okay, but something's going on with the circuitry where they're just not able to see correctly. So if you take all of those numbers into consideration, we're looking at maybe about 40,000 to 50,000.
Well, that's a big number, and I imagine some of those people also have mobility impairment or maybe loss of a limb, so they would have kind of two different sets of disability accommodations required. Does that complicate this whole issue of 508 compliance?
Oh, absolutely. As far as access, I mean, the biggest challenge we have to overcome is access, and when you throw in a polytrauma or an individual suffers from more than one type of disability, it just makes those challenges more difficult to overcome.
So what happens next between the Blinded Veterans Association, VA? What are you hoping to have happen in the next couple of months?
We're hoping that we'll be able to audit some of their work once we recognize and have some conversations with them that they, in fact, did fix something. We would kind of reach out to some of our high-end IT users that can kind of look at a specific website and maybe do a use case study and identify where the problems are and audit the work that they said that they fixed.
Al Levina is the Executive Director of the Blinded Veterans Association. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.